Everything that we did last week, let's go ahead and look at the first, let's see here. Let's go ahead and read the first three verses there that we've been reading or looking at, continuing from last week, verses 12 to 14. Does anybody want to volunteer to read that for us in Genesis chapter 37, verses 12? Go ahead, Brother Kevin, 12 through 14. Oop, almost got him. Come on, brother.
There. I'll just read it right here. And his brethren went to feed their father's flock in Shechem. And Israel said unto Joseph, do not thy brethren feed the flock in Shechem? Come, and I will send thee unto them. And he said unto him, here am I. And he said, go to him. Go, I pray thee, see whether it be well with thy brethren and well with the flocks, and bring my word again. So he sent him out of the vale of Hebron, and he came to Shechem. And a certain man found him, and behold, he was wandering in the field. And the man asked him, saying, what seekest thou? And he said, I seek my brethren. Tell me, I pray thee, where they feed their flock. And the man said, they are departed hence, for I heard them say, let us go to Dothan. And Joseph went after his brethren and found them in Dothan. So 12 through 17.
Right? That's good right there, brother. Thank you so much. Continuing on the life of Joseph, and again, as we've mentioned, there's a lot of things that we can learn from and relate to in the life of Joseph. And in this particular lesson that we're continuing on, we're asking the question, is this good? What's happening? Everything that's transpiring. Of course, last week we really talked a little bit about Joseph and being sent by his father. And, you know, it said there in his brethren, his brethren went to feed their father's flock in Shechem. And Israel, talking about Jacob, said unto Joseph, do not thy brethren feed flock in Shechem. Come, and I will send thee unto them. And he said unto him, here am I. And we talked about last week how Joseph had no reservations about doing whatever it was that his father asked him to do. And we talked about the importance, church, how it relates to us, of the importance of doing what it is that God wants us to do. So he didn't have reservations. He didn't question God. He didn't question his father. He didn't say, you know, Father, we've not been getting along lately very well. How many of us have been in that situation and wondered, you know, Lord, is that really what you want me to do? You want me to get involved in that ministry, but we haven't got along very well. Joseph didn't have those kind of reservations, right? You know, and if you think about really what reservations happen in our minds, almost got him. When reservations happen, it's really sort of an insecurity in many ways. It's an insecurity in many ways because you don't know how it's going to turn out. You don't know how people are going to treat you. You don't know how people are going to react. You don't know what people are going to say. And so sometimes you have reservations about doing things. And I understand that. But yet, the issue is not even so much whether you have reservations. The issue is not even as big as if you have fear. The psalmist said, at what time I am afraid, I will trust in thee. Amen? Let me say that again and let that say, what time I am afraid, I will trust. The issue has never, ever been that you don't have fears, friend. I understand those things are normal. I understand they're part of life. But when we put our faith and trust in the Lord, that's what we call stepping out on faith. Say, I don't know all the answers. Yes, I have some concerns. Yes, I have some reservations. Yes, I don't know all the answers. But I'm going to do this because this is what God has asked me to do. And I'm going to put my faith and trust in the Lord. So that's sort of what we were segueing, a segue into today, where Joseph didn't have reservations. But as we continue on what he did, not only did Joseph not have any reservations, he also had no return as well. You know, Joseph came to Shechem, and that word Shechem literally means shoulder, and it brings us to the understanding that Shechem is a place of bearing burdens. Now, of course, keep in mind as we're talking about Joseph, we also see pictures of the life of Christ as well. Amen. Let me give you a couple of scriptures, a perfect picture of what Christ did for us in 1 Peter 2:24. Who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. Right? In Isaiah 53:4-6, surely he hath borne our griefs, carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions, yet he was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray, we have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. The Bible is very clear that the suffering that Christ went through was nothing that had to do with Christ's sin or as a punishment or consequence because of who Christ was. No, he bore our sins. Our iniquity was laid upon him, right? He became that one who bore those burdens. So when we think about that idea of Shechem and what he did, it was a place of burden. He shouldered some burdens there. And I just want to remind us, church, that oftentimes when we do make a decision to follow God's plan or God's will in our life, there are going to be some burdens that we have to bear. To be responsible for any kind of ministry, there's burdens that have to be borne through that ministry. There's responsibilities that have to be fulfilled. And guess what? Sometimes it's not always convenient to do those things, right? Sometimes maybe it means rising up early. Maybe it means staying up late, making preparations. Maybe it means making extra phone calls. Maybe it means staying after and working or before at church when nobody else is around. And you know, sometimes too, and if we're not careful, we can struggle with this. Sometimes it means doing work that nobody ever sees. Amen? And not getting recognized for it, right? Those are actual burdens. You think about, well, that's not a... But those are the kind of things that happen sometimes. You do this work, and what if we're not careful, the devil will creep in and say, look at everything that you've done, and nobody's even said thank you for that. Right? For example, if the church wasn't cleaned up, it might be one of those things that somebody will notice if it was not cleaned up. But they don't always necessarily notice if it was cleaned up. It's sort of become an expectation, right? If we come in here and there's garbage in the floor and there's things, you know, because it's our duty to make the house of God look good. We have a responsibility to make those things look good. And so we have a certain expectation if we come in here and everything's a mess, you know, then we're going to probably ask questions. But, you know, have you ever thought about, boy, things are looking nice. We should, you know, really express some gratitude for that. But that doesn't always happen. Now, keep in mind, as we mentioned last week, that should not be our motivation for service. We should not do it because we want the recognition. What I'm cautioning us about, church, is that when we go with no return, it means, hey, listen, you can't go back because somebody didn't say thank you. If you make a commitment to the Lord, and listen, I believe you ought to follow through with that commitment, right? I believe that Joseph not only went with no reservations, he went with no return in mind. It didn't matter what obstacles was going to be ahead of him. He was going to fulfill the will of his father. That's what he was going to do. Did he have trouble along the way? Absolutely he had trouble. Now keep in mind, and this is no secret, we started off in our text over in Genesis chapter 50, the Bible says that God meant it unto good. All right? That's what we're trying to get at. That all this, the big picture, is this was part of God's plan. All these things that Joseph is dealing with, it, all these obstacles, all this opposition that Joseph had to endure was literally part of God's plan. So brings us back to the question for this particular, is this good? And the answer is yes. Even through circumstances or bad circumstances, even through heartache, even through trouble, it is still part of God's will and plan to get us to that place where he wanted us to be. God was essentially doing this to actually protect Israel or Jacob and his family. So this is part of God's plan. And anything that you do in fulfillment on God's plan, even though you may endure suffering and persecution on the way, is good. Okay? In fact, the Bible tells us that, yea, all that will live godly shall suffer persecution. So, you know, oftentimes I think it's, you know, interesting. We always want to talk about the promises of God. And by the way, I think you should remind yourself of the promises of God. That's a good thing, right? But also remember that I believe that's something that the Bible is telling us. If you live godly, then this is what's going to happen. That's sort of like a promise. It's saying, if you do this, this is what's going to happen. Live godly, expect persecution. Right? Live godly, expect opposition. Live godly, expect problems. It's going to happen. So Joseph came to Shechem. This is a picture, as we said, of Christ. You know, the good thing about that is the other picture that we see is that Christ does continue to be a burden bearer for us even today. You know, the Bible says in Matthew 11, 28 through 30, "Come unto me, y'all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light." All right? And then the next thought, you know, we were studying as far as Joseph is concerned. The first part was he came into his own. The second part is his own received him not. Remember that text that we read last week where Jesus literally came unto his own and his own received him not. Joseph came to his own brethren and his own brethren received him not. In fact, they conspired against him as we read. Here cometh the dreamer. You know, here comes the guy with big plans and big visions, and not in a way to compliment him, okay? More of a way to ridicule him. So if we go down to Genesis chapter 37, verses 18 through 20, follow along there in your Bibles there, back in Genesis 37, verses 18 through 20, when they saw him afar off, even before he came near unto them, they conspired against him to slay him. And they said one to another, "Behold, this dreamer cometh. Come now, therefore, and let us slay him, and cast him into some pit, and we will say some evil beast hath devoured him, and we shall see what will become of his dreams." Talk about a dream killer. They literally were trying to conspire against him. And the last thing that they said on that thought was, "Let's see what happens to his dreams now. Let's go ahead and slay him. Let's throw him in the pit. Let's see what happens to his dreams then." When it says that they conspired against him when they saw far, you ever walked into a room and you felt like everybody's just talking about you? Right? And not necessarily in a good way. You know, you come in, you say, "Boy, your ears are burning." You know, you've heard that expression before. Now, let me just make a comment on that first, because first, I do believe that happens, but probably not as much as you think that it happens. Okay? And even if it does, you know, I've determined that it's going to be all right. Because our biggest objective is to please the Lord, not please people. If we pattern our life and our ministry to please people, we're going to constantly struggle. Okay? We're going to constantly struggle. I'm going to end up in this trap. And what happens is you can't please everybody. Right? You know, it doesn't matter what kind of decision. I remember several years ago, I thought there was a place there in front of the church that had there was some brick, and it was almost like a perfect little area to put some flowers in there. And I thought, well, you know, let's make it look pretty. Let's get some nice flowers planted in there. And we had somebody go in and put some flowers in there, and then somebody complained about the type of flowers that were in there. There's always a buzzkill, right? I remember another particular occasion. This is where I served as assistant pastor for 5 years, and kind of back here where the doors are, there was a set of double doors, similar, well, actually more like in the foyer, and the church was wanting to make improvements, and they had put some glass doors up. And they looked nice. I thought they were great. I was excited about it. You think, who would be excited about a door? Well, David was, by the way. He said, "I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of the Lord than dwell in the tents of wickedness," but that's another thought. But anyhow, she come in, and I was the only one there at the time kind of turning things on. She said, "I don't like them, Brother Jaime." I said, "You don't like what, sister?" "I don't like those doors." I said, "Well, what's wrong with them? What don't you like about them?" She said, "I don't know. They're just different, and I just don't like them." Right? Some people just don't like change, and that was the problem. She's gone home to be with the Lord. I don't begrudge her anything. I'm not angry at her. I was just making a point that sometimes when you do something, even if it's for the betterment, not everybody's going to be on board. There's sometimes buzzkills. But you see, what we've determined to do is this what the Lord wants? Is this what God wants? Are we doing what the Lord wants us to do? Then just let the rest of it be what it is. Right? So, going back to Joseph, they saw him afar off. They conspired against him. What we see here, the similarities from Christ to Joseph are pretty obvious. You know, that he came into his own, and his own deceived him not. And another thing that's important, I think, to understand is I do believe that Jacob had actually had a misunderstanding of his own children. The assumption was that his brothers would receive him, right? But obviously that was not the case. Joseph didn't know his kids as much as he thought that he did. I believe, and again, this isn't the main part of the lesson. I'm not going to spend too much time, but when you look up Jacob's life, there were some things that really he was very passive about concerning his children. We talked a little bit about this briefly last week, but you know, we should not be taking a passive approach to parenting. We should be very involved in our children's lives. Amen. If we're grandparents, hey, guess what? If you have the opportunity to influence your children, you should be involved in what they're doing. You should show them the right way, the biblical way of doing things and how we ought to act, how we ought to conduct ourselves. It's proper for us to do that. And when, hey, listen, if there's a problem, then you ought to be in it. You ought to know, like I said last week, you ought to be in your kids' phones. You got teenagers? Amen? Teenagers hate when I say that. Yeah, Pastor, don't get on that. But we ought to be involved in our kids' phones. You ought to go back and check what they're watching on YouTube every now and then. You ought to go back. Hey, listen, we live in time. Go check their browsing history, right? See if they're already clear in their history so that you can't know. You ought to look for things like that. Hey. Glory to God. Glory to God. I need to know about that. You need to get with me on that. So, amen. So, you know, you ought to, do I think that my children right now are intended to do nothing wrong? No, but you know what? Can I tell you a secret about my kids? I don't know that I've said it publicly, but they're sinners. You know why? Because their daddy's a big sinner and their mom's a sinner. And guess what? Scripturally speaking, they took on the same sin nature that's been passed down from Adam. Okay? So, do I think that they're going to do so? I don't think that right now, but you know what? They're going to probably at some point. I'm not going to be so foolish to think, well, my kids are never going to, no, that's why we need to be involved. Let's not take that passive approach and just assume, well, you know, my children never lie. I think I told you about our little buddy who had, when I was principal of the school, had hauled off and just nailed someone. You know, I seen it with mine eyes, okay? So if there was a lie, then it would have been my own eyes that lied to me. It wasn't by a teacher. It wasn't by another student. No, I saw him do it. But then I would just call him Johnny. Little Johnny's parents said, oh, no, Johnny, don't lie. Well, I guess that was true up until this point because he just did. And guess what? He's going to be punished anyway. So anyhow, be involved. Proverbs 29:15, the rod and the reproof give wisdom, but a child left himself bringeth his mother to shame. You ever seen a child throwing a fit at Walmart because they didn't get what they wanted? I mean, they're just in the floor throwing a fit. I don't know about you, but if that was my child, I would be embarrassed. Say amen on that, Brother Will. Amen. You know, I would be embarrassed. Of course, we would be dealing with the situation like what you're describing there, okay? We have an education process in our home. It's called the Board of Education. And so we'll let you figure out what that is, okay? It's called the Board of Education. And, you know, I'll be honest, church, thankfully I haven't had to do that as much, you know, because they're starting to grow. Doesn't mean it won't. Do I think I probably still will? Yeah, some of my, they're still young. Are your kids too old? No. My oldest is 15. He knows he's not too old, right? Do I want to? Absolutely not. Do I need to? If necessary. Right? So, anyhow, you've seen those children throwing a fit. To me, as a parent, that'd be embarrassing. Now, we're kind of living in a day where they're not even ashamed of it. It's more, mind your own business, you know? Amen. Well, you know, part of me wants to say, well, since you're not going to parent, do you want me to help your child out and parent for them? But, of course, you can't do that. You know the day that we're living in. But, nevertheless, I do believe, you know, him not being received as brother, his father really had a misunderstanding of what his sons were. Joseph's brothers were sort of like a keg of gunpowder. It didn't need much to set him off, just a little spark. My uncle works in a sanitation in the city of Chandler. Sometimes he drives around, does dispatch type things. Sometimes he works in the facility. He comes across some weird things. I mean, weird things. He's come across some good things, too, right? You know, things worth of value. The other day, he brought home, we're staying with my uncle now, this box that says explosives. It's like a box. I don't know, Brother Kevin, if that's what they kept dynamite in, but I opened it up just to be sure. You know, I'm sure he wouldn't have brought the dynamite home, but it literally said explosives on it, so it caught my attention. You know, because, hey, if there's explosives in there, I need to know, you know, so that way, you know, I don't try to spark any fires. You know, I'm not going to go light the grill or something around the thing because you never know. It might be just a, you know, not again, he's not going to do that. But it just caught my attention. But it does remind me of, you know, sometimes we can be, or even our children can be, or love, it doesn't take much to set them off, right? They can be explosive. But, you know, you think about them, that can happen to us. It doesn't take much to set us off. And what the bigger concern about that is, folks, is that as we're trying to serve the Lord, don't let things set you off. You know, it's funny how quickly people will quit sometimes. Let me preface that by saying when they don't have the right spirit about serving the Lord. I remember one time, and of course I'm going to leave names out of it, but not that I think that they're watching our live stream. Maybe they are, maybe they're not. But I remember one time in particular, we just got a very new to us church van. I mean, the thing was only 2-3 years old. It was a very, very nice van. And, you know, we were expanding our bus ministry. This was our second bus that we were adding to our fleet, if you will. And we were pretty excited about it. You know, we were really excited about it. We wanted to do our best to keep it clean because we also would use it to take trips. Like when we took our seniors, Brother Silcott, over to the Noah's Ark, we took that van. You know, air conditioning worked great. Who thanks the Lord for air conditioning? Please raise your hand. Tuck is not thankful. Oh, there it is. I was going to say, you're not thankful for air conditioning, brother. Praise the Lord. Amen. But my point is, we told our brother, I said, hey, brother, can you do me a favor? Can you help me implement these rules on the bus? Now, I wasn't even necessarily saying it was his rule. You know, I expected him to follow them. But I said, can you help me implement these rules on the bus? And he said, there's rules? I said, we want to make sure that the bus is kept clean and nice. And his response was, well, if there's going to be rules, I don't want to drive and hand me over the bus keys. Just a little thing that I guess he just didn't feel like he wanted to be responsible for. I didn't say it was only his responsibility. I asked him if he would help me enforce these rules, and they were real simple rules. Don't bring garbage into the van. We don't want to be drinking soft drinks. They were really simple. It wasn't like you got to vacuum the van every time, you know, you get out of it. That's not even what I was talking about. We had plans to get it scheduled to get cleaned and maintenance. That wasn't even that. But it was just a little spark. Just a little bit of a, in his mind, an inconvenience. And all it was simply saying, kids, make sure you pick up your garbage. Please make sure you don't leave your Bibles on the bus. Please make sure you don't bring your crafts that you did in children's church. Don't leave them on the bus because we want to keep it clean and neat. Not that complicated, but it was a little bit of a spark. And guess what? He stopped driving the bus. Now, Let me tell you the rest of that story. I'm not going to do a Paul Harvey on you this morning, Brother Kevin. The rest of that story is that I think that the Lord worked on his heart. And he saw that and he ended up driving again later on. Okay? So praise the Lord for that. The Lord, you know, he came back and apologized. But what I'm saying is that in this case, obviously with Joseph's brothers, just the sight of him was enough to spark something in him that they didn't like it. They didn't like his brother. Just a visual sometimes can spark things. And all I'm saying is that we ought to be a little bit stronger than that, friend. Don't let little things like that deter you, as we did there. So he came into his own received him not. And then the last thing we want to mention is just getting back to our main thought. God's plan always moves forward. All right? God's plan always moves forward. You know, even through as we talked about last week, the plan and what they did conspire to do by throwing him in the pit or taking his coat, selling him, but then taking his coat and killing a goat, dipping it in the blood, and then making their father, who was already old in age, think that their son had died, his son that had died. That's wicked. That's wicked, friend. We talk about how wicked that is. We talk a little bit about the wickedness that we're seeing. But yet God's plan will move forward. In Genesis chapter 15, verses 13 through 14, I'd like to make reference there. And Genesis 15, 13 through 14, and he said unto Abram, we're studying a little bit about Abraham on Wednesday nights. Know of a surety that thy seed shall be a stranger in a land that is not theirs, and shall serve them, and they shall afflict them 400 years. And also that nation whom they shall serve I will judge, and afterward, watch this, shall they come out with great substance. God is describing here about what's going to happen, essentially pointing to the time of bondage under Israel. But the Lord says, afterward, they shall come out with great substance. Can I remind you that as you go through the pain and suffering, as you deal with life, as these problems arise in your life, that I believe that for the child of God, there's always an afterward, you shall come out with great substance. And I don't necessarily mean materialistic things. All right? I don't necessarily mean being rich financially. Okay? Sometimes we think great substance, wow, if I do this, God's going to just, you know, pour out all this money. And all that. That's not, now he may choose to do that. I don't know. I'm not the Lord. I'm not saying that he won't. All I'm saying is that that's not necessarily, let's not get into the impression in our mind that that's necessarily a blessing, only if you have good finances. Okay? God blesses in more ways other than just that. Great substance would be leaving a Christian heritage, leaving a legacy for in the church, like Pastor Storm did. I believe that God blessed him with a great spiritual substance by leaving a legacy here at Florence Baptist Church. There's other ways that God blesses. Don't ever just assume that it's just material things. But this was something that God had already planned. He already knew about before Joseph was even on the scene. So it kind of brings us to our last couple of thoughts here that we're going to mention. Are we still asking the question, is this God's will? Who's in charge? And the answer is God's in control. Okay? God has never lost his authority. God has never lost his power. Doesn't matter what you're facing. Doesn't matter what you're going through. You know, God's plan is going to move forward. And oftentimes, can I tell you something? We are not big enough to ruin God's plans. We're just not that big. We don't have that much power to ruin God's plans. Now, you might do things that dishonor God. You might do things that you rob yourself of blessings from the Lord. But I want to tell you, we're not big enough to ruin God's plans. Okay? So God's plan will move forward. All right, thank you for being here. We're going to go ahead and wrap it up right there. Let's have a word of prayer and be dismissed. Brother Chuck, would you mind dismissing us in prayer? Go right ahead, brother. Amen. Yes. Amen. Amen. Thank you, brother. All right. Yes. We do need some more Reubenites.